Alive, by Jesse Goldberg Strassler. Blair had but a half second to brace before the world shattered around her. There was no time to think of anything or anyone. She had imagined beforehand that it would be quick, no pain, life vanishing into nothingness, and then heaven. She was wrong. The nothingness gave way at once to shrieking agony. If she had been knocked from consciousness at all, it could only have lasted mere moments before the cold and the pain tore her awake again. She was still alive, she recognized with horror, and still securely belted in the driver's seat. The collision had cracked the car open, exposing her to the hostile February wind. Her body screamed 9 different ways. She heard them all in turn, then in piercing harmony, and she began to scream herself. Her coherence returned at the thundering sounds of cars and trucks speeding past, and she realized her wrecked Camry was blocking the ramp. This evoked the most terrifying thought yet, as she imagined each approaching roar as an unknowing driver about to crash into her. She changed her mind. She was not ready to be dead yet, not this way, broken and freezing and screaming. With agonizing difficulty, she turned on her phone and shakily directed it to call 911. Accident. 375 North. Her mind went blank. Where on 375 North? The dispatcher said something back, but she could not understand the words through the wind and her pain. Breathe, she told herself, but each breath brought sharp, stabbing agony. She attempted to delay the stabs, holding her breath longer and longer, until she could no longer stand it and fell into a coughing, heaving fit. This was the worst yet, as though someone were ripping away at her body, nerve by nerve. She could feel the blood on her face and on her tingling arms, but she could not feel her legs, not at all, and she began to panic more than ever. She was sweating now, despite the freezing winds. Her thoughts heaved about, disorienting her all the more. And then she wasn't in her car anymore. She was somewhere else, on her back, swimming in and out of cogent thought. Where was she? Inside, out of the wind, away from the roaring cars. This was so comforting that she didn't mind falling into the blackness. She returned moments later after a bump, and a subsequent swerve shook and twisted the world around her. Riding somewhere, she recognized, and the word ambulance came to mind before the blackness conquered her once more. Blair? She was conscious of light and sound and warmth. Are you awake? Can you hear me? I'm here. The voice came from her left. She brought her head toward it, sending a twinge of pain up the back of her neck. She winced. Blair! Thank God, Blair! She opened her eyes slowly, and the world took its time in returning to focus. She was in a bed. It was white. Your parents just left. They just left. I have to call them. I have to call them. Blair, you're awake! Spots still marred her vision, distracting her, but she could see him now. Thin face, freckles, glasses bent a little funny over his nose. Oh, God, she thought through the haze. Oh, God! It's Jeff. My parents, she slurred groggily. You can't call them. You don't have their number. I do. They gave it to me when I got here. I promised I'd call them if you woke up while I was here. It was Jeff. Yes, it was really Jeff. Blair? That was another voice, firmer. She followed it, gingerly moving her head to the right. A woman, standing. White coat. Tall. Black-gray hair tied back. Blair, I'm Dr. Serna. You've been in an accident. You've been badly hurt. A doctor, she pieced together. Yes, that was who this was. A doctor. And this was a hospital. And she was in a hospital bed. And, oh God, she was alive. Blair, Jeff's voice again. I just talked to your parents. They'll be here soon. Naomi, too. They've all been waiting and waiting for you to wake up. They're going to be so happy to see you awake. I'm so happy to see you awake. You can't imagine, Blair. You can't imagine. She had told herself that she would never see him again. Never see any of them again. And then they would be so much better off. Yet here he was, and her parents were coming. And Naomi, too. She panicked. Oh, God. They were going to see her like this. And they were going to ask her what had happened and why it had happened, and they were going to worry about her more than ever. She couldn't bear it. She looked at Jeff, with his soft brown eyes half obscured behind those old crooked glasses. Why wouldn't he get them straightened? And then she turned away, and she shut her eyes as tightly as she could. It didn't work. They were there, behind her eyelids, Jeff whiter than ever, her mother with her hands over her mouth, her father with his head in his hands, Naomi with her arms folded across her knees, and all of them crying. There were tears now rolling down her cheeks. "Blair, you're going to be all right. It's okay now. You're going to be all right." She felt his comforting hand wiping her tears away and went to assist him, but her arms were useless, encased and tied up. She could barely move her fingers, only the smallest wiggle. As for her legs and toes, oh God, she still couldn't feel them, just like back in the car. They weren't there. There was only half of her there in the hospital bed. She'd left the other half in her Camry. "You're going to be all right, Blair. Talk to me. I'm here. I took the time off from work for you. They understood that I had to be here." She knew he wanted her to look at him, with his freckles and his thin face and his bent glasses, but she couldn't. He should have been at the coffee shop, and she should have been back in her Camry, back with her legs. Oh, God, back with her legs, driving safely home like she was supposed to. There was the sound of footsteps, the doctor's firm voice telling Jeff to step out into the hallway, the creak of the chair as Jeff stood. It was a little while before he left the room. She could picture his reluctance, with his lips pressed together and his hands half sticking out of his pockets. But he did leave in the end, the door closing behind him. She was ready for the darkness again, now, but it did not come. "Blair?" The doctor again. "Your boyfriend's given us some space. Whenever you're ready to talk, I'm ready." She opened her eyes a pinch, then slightly more. "Boyfriend? Did he say boyfriend?" "Yes." She took a ragged, half-sobbing breath. "Blair, you were in a car accident. You're lucky to be alive. Do you remember driving home on 375 North? "Yes," she whispered. "You crashed into the barrier next to your exit ramp at 65 miles per hour. It could have killed you instantly. You were very lucky." A shudder rippled through her. "You've suffered a concussion, quite a few broken bones, and you've injured your spinal cord." "My legs," she whispered. "I left my legs in the car. They're still in my car." "You still have your legs, Blair." "They're not there." She tried again to move her toes as the panic returned. "They're not there. Where are they?" "The accident injured your spinal cord, as I said, and has left you partially paralyzed. But with physical therapy..." "I paralyzed myself," she said, her voice rising. "I paralyzed myself." "Blair," said the doctor, "there's a good chance you'll walk again. Through physical therapy and rehabilitation..." "Blair, you're alive. That's the most important thing. You're alive." "I'm alive," she cried inwardly. "I'm alive." The doctor's voice took on a different tone. "Tell me about the accident, Blair." "Yes." She could tell the doctor about the accident. It was just her and the doctor in the room. Just her and the doctor. "What happened? Were you texting?" She could tell the doctor. Yes, she could. About how she realized what a burden she was for everyone in her life, and how much better it would be if she was no longer there. She could tell the doctor about how much easier everyone's life would be without her, how much happier they would be without her. And, yes, they would miss her at first, but it would pass with time, and then everyone would go on and live their lives and be so much happier for it. She could tell the doctor everything. "Blair?" She could tell the doctor how she'd been thinking about it for months during those drives home from school. It was so perfect and easy. All she had to do was take the exit ramp like usual, and then, instead of slowing down around the turn, proceed straight into the barrier. "Don't touch the wheel. Just go straight, and that would be it, nice and quick, and everyone's lives would change for the better. They'd throw her a lovely funeral, she imagined it well, and everyone would be crying. Then they'd decide she wouldn't have wanted them to cry, she'd have wanted them to smile, and then they'd think of her fondly and chase their dreams. Her parents would travel, and Jeff would go back to school, and Naomi would pursue a full-time job, and it was all because of her. All she had to do was go straight at the exit and let the barrier do the work." "Blair?" said the doctor. "Yes, it was easy. Excitingly easy. Once the idea had taken her, she'd considered doing it sooner, swerving into onrushing traffic or driving into a telephone pole. Really, there were so many moments while driving where something routine might go wrong. She didn't have to stop at a red light, for instance, or yield, or drive the speed limit, or take it slow during icy days. None of it, though, was as promising as the barrier at the exit ramp. No other cars could be involved, she vowed. She did not want anyone else to be injured or killed in her final action. The crash would be for her and her alone, and then the gates of heaven awaited, and she would look down to see her lasting legacy of inspiration. What are you smiling about, Blair? Yes, she would tell the doctor. She would tell the doctor everything. She looked closer at the doctor's face. What's your name? She whispered. Dr. Cerna, said the doctor. There were deep lines on the doctor's cheeks, and deep bags under the doctor's eyes, reminding her of the lines on her mother's face and the bags under her father's eyes. Dr. Cerna. Yes, Blair? About the accident. Dr. Cerna, I shouldn't have... She trailed off. It was difficult to know where to begin. The lines creased all the more on Dr. Cerna's face. You got distracted, didn't you? Were you texting? Were you on the phone? I always tell my daughters not to text or be on the phone while they drive. They use hands-free devices like they're supposed to, but it's still dangerous, especially with how icy it gets. Dr. Cerna sighed, sat down, and crossed one leg over the other. I have three of them, two about your age, maybe just a little younger, and then one who's seven. I haven't seen them all week. With those words, something tightened within her. Why haven't you seen your daughters? I've been here with you, Blair, and with my other patients, too, but mostly here with you. We've been working very hard with you. Your accident was on Sunday night, and it's Thursday now. You were asleep for 4 days while we did our best with you. It was a terrible accident. I can't tell you how much it means to me to be able to talk with you now. Dr. Cerna pushed back a stray lock of hair behind her ear and rubbed at her eyes. We've all been doing everything we can for you, Blair. It's so good to have you back with us. She felt ice cold. Thank you, Dr. Cerna. The doctor gave an appreciative chuckle. You're very welcome, Blair. We've still got a long road ahead of us, but we'll get you walking again. Things might not get back to where they were, but we'll get you close. Then Jeff and her parents and Naomi were there, bursting through the doorway, hugging her, holding her. See, beamed Jeff, she's awake. Thank God, said her mother. My Blair, said her father. We were so worried, said Naomi. I'm sorry, she said automatically. I was texting, and I wasn't paying attention, and I paralyzed myself.